Sit back for a second. The Achronim speak about the fact that David HaMelech, they couldn't move his body. There's a shita that holds that if the body is clothed, then you're allowed to move it. The Chor David HaMelech was in the middle of learning. He went outside to the garden. He was somebody's wearing clothing. So it was a shayla of moving him that Yadavka needed a kik or a tinov. To say that the godim of a melech are osur bahanoah to any other human being. So even though David HaMelech was wearing clothing, his clothing were muktzah. The only thing is, it's mutter to another king. So Shlomo HaMelech could have worn it. So they say either they weren't the same size, right? So it wasn't runway for him, he's the only person, or that Shlomo HaMelech felt he wasn't fit to wear his father's clothing. And he got that. That's why these two shailas go together. Because the whole time that David HaMelech was alive, there was never a problem with feeding the dogs, that they had to go cut up a nevela on Shabbos. And here, as soon as David dies, Shlomo finds he has these kind of shailas, so he has the two together to show that my father, even though he's clothed, nobody can wear his clothing, and even I don't feel fit to wear them. I'm not roy for it. So the Maisa, they needed a kikur and tinnik to move him. Okay, let's go on. Okay, we're up to the fourth big line on Lamed Amud Beis. V'shibachti anis ha-simcha. That's what's it called. So we said that there were other things that contradicted themselves in Shlomo HaMelech in Koheles. And one of them was that in one place he says v'shibachti anis ha-simcha. Another place it says, was simcha mazu osem. So the shibachti anis ha-simcha, simcha shel mitzvah. That's referring to simcha of a mitzvah. There, it's a praiseworthy thing. Well, the simcha mazu osem, what's the purpose, what's the benefit of simcha? Zu simcha she'ena shel mitzvah. Simcha that's not a mitzvah. That's purposeless. Lamedcha, and that teaches us she'ein shchina shora lo mitoch atzlus v'lo mitoch atzlus v'lo mitoch schok v'lo mitoch kalis rosh v'lo mitoch sicha v'lo mitoch dvarim betelim ela mitoch dvar simcha shel mitzvah. Right, shchina comes to a person through simcha shel mitzvah, not through all these other things. Shenemar v'yata kachuli menagein v'hoya kenagein hamenagein v'atihi olo v'yad Hashem. That was this Elisha said that they should bring him a menagein, and when they played the instruments and he was besimcha, then the shechina came onto him. What's the mitzvah over here? So the Marsha says that the mitzvah was the shechina itself. Having the shechina come on you was a mitzvah. So the way that he got the shechina, which is simcha shel mitzvah, was through the music. Omer of Yehuda v'chein l'dvar halacha. The same thing goes for dvar halacha. That I don't see the Rashi till here. Simcha shel mitzvah could go nachnosas kala. What's an example of simcha shel mitzvah where there's a mitzvah of simcha in the mitzvah itself? That's nachnosas kala. Not every mitzvah has a mitzvah specifically of simcha by. It's a general thing that a person should do mitzvahs with simcha, but that the simcha is an integral part of the mitzvah. That's by nachnosas kala. Schok, schok mama, shein das sochek miu sheves olav, vafilu eno shalotzo, nikomako ein bo yishuv. Schok over here doesn't necessarily mean leitzonis, but it means being frivolous, even in a not negative way, but a person who's frivolous, his mind is not concentrated, he's not in a serious mood, right? You can be besimcha and be serious, but if you're not serious, your mind isn't concentrated. Kalis rosh is lotzo. Kalis rosh is more than frivolous, that's leitzonis. Kechuli menagen mitzvah hi lahashrus olav shchina. Rashi's mitzvah hi lahashrus. The mitzvah is the hashrus hashchina itself is a mitzvah. The dvar halacha tzorich liftorach b'milei dichusa bereisha. The dvar halacha also what's it called? There's an inyan to be besimcha. So you start learning with something humorous. We'll see in 1 second what that means, humorous, or if it means the cloud humorous. Amar Rava v'chein l'chalom tov. Same thing goes for a good dream. Person goes to sleep feeling happy, he'll have good dreams. Not, you don't have a good dream. V'eini v'omar av gidl, Amar Rav kol talmud chochem shioshev ne'rabo v'ein siv sosav notfos mor tichadena. Right? L'chora, how can you say that when it comes to learning, a person should be b'simcha, Chori has to be sitting in dread of the Rebbe. Right? A Talmud Chacham who sits in front of his Rebbe, and his lips are not quivering with bitterness. In other words, he's not scared to death. Right? He should be burnt. Shenemar sifsosav shoshanim notvos mor over. Al tikre mor over elamar over. Should be bitter. Right? Bitter meaning he's terrified. Al tikre shoshanim elashoshonim. Right, sifsosav shoshanim. While you're sitting and learning, you should be sitting in awe and dread of the Rebbe. Lokasha, Habarabba, Habar Talmud. Depends who, right? The Talmud should be sitting in dread. The Rebbe should be what's it called, the Simcha, so he can give over the Shir.
Shoshonim is dread.
What? Shoshonim? No, means that they're learning. Shoshanim, Shoshonim. When they're learning, right? Then it's more over. It should be what's it called? Should be bitter. Should be. Could be both are talking about the Rebbe. Before he starts, he should start with something humorous, and then when he gets down to the learning, it should be with serious and with aima, with dread. Just like what's it called, Rabba, before he would start his shir, he would say, milsa de b'dichusa, and the Rabbanan would be Badchi Rabbanan, they would get happy. And Lesof Yosef Be'emso Pasav B'Shmaisen. After that, he'd sit down in awe and Ema, fear, and he would start the Shir. Rashi. L'dvar halacha tzarev l'min v'chusa, ke l'chalom tov, im ba lishon mitoch simcha, marin lo chalom tov. You go to sleep happy, you'll see a good dream. Notvos mor, meriros machmas ema. You're bitter. It's bitter because of the awe. Ubadchi rabbanan niftach liba machmas asimcha. Badchi rabbanan, Rashi says, means their heart was open to listen to the shir because of their simcha. So the Pnei Yeshua says that it doesn't mean over here you have to say a joke. That's not what it means at all. He says what it means is you start with agadita. That speak about the greatness of Talmud Torah, and you get people in the mood for listening to a shir because they realize how important it is. Right? So that's the milsa d'bichusa means agadata. That's why a lot of times before you start a sugya, whatever, the chacham themselves said milei d'agadata, like over here. Right? To get the people into the right mood of being able to appreciate Torah. Others, though, say that it means mamash a joke. It means to... What's it called? First of all, public speaking-wise, that's the way to get people's attention. Start with a joke, then people listen. So that's the same thing over here. And since it's for a purpose that is positive, so that's okay also. And others say that it's to fool the Sultan. That Sultan sees people gathering together. He thinks they're going to learn Torah. So he's there to be mastin. He starts, the Rebbe starts with a joke, so the Sultan leaves. He's not interested in being around. He has other things to do. Right? Jokes he's willing to people to do. And when, after you say the first joke, so then the Shir can go without the Sultan being around. They say that the Orach Chaim's wife once gave a Shir to his Talmidim from behind the Mechitza. She was a big Melumedes. And the Hakdama to her Shir was the following. She says, it says, what's it called, that you have to start with a joke. But she said that the reason for the joke is that the Sultan shouldn't come and bother you. She said, but a woman is not chayiv in Talmud Torah, and gadol ha-metzuvah v'yosa mimishena metzuvah v'yosa, because the Sultan bothers a person who has to do something, doesn't bother somebody who doesn't have to do it. She said, Mela, since she's a woman, and the Sultan doesn't bother her anyway, she's not mechuyev to start with a joke. He said, that's the pshat in the pasuk. Pi ha pascha b'chachma. A woman is able to open up with chachma without starting with jokes. Ki Torah's chesed al lashona, because her Torah is only chesed. It's only voluntary. Nanela, what's it called? She doesn't have to start with a joke. Okay. Let's go on. Va'af sefer mishle bikshu lignos, shoyu dvarav sosrim zed zeh. Even mishle, we find many contradictions that you have to qualify by saying that they're talking about different kinds of simcha or different kinds of things. Why didn't they suppress and hide away Mishle? Amrei Sefer Koheles lav einin vashkechin and taim ahochinami lion. Just like what's it called by Koheles, we had problems with it, and we went through it and we resolved all the problems. So to Mishlei, we can learn from there that Mishlei also is probably resolutions. Take the time and learn. You'll see the contradictions aren't contradictions. Well, my dvarav soshim said, so what kind of contradictions do they find? Ksiv al tan ksil kevlaso. Ksiv ane ksil kevlaso. One pasuk says, don't answer a fool like his foolishness. And the other one says, answer a fool like his foolishness. So are you supposed to answer or not answer? One pasuk seems to say yes, one says not. Lokasha. So what's the answer? Hava divrei Torah, hava milei bi'alma. Where is divrei Torah? Even if he asks a foolish question, you should answer him according to his foolish question. But where it's milei de'alma, things have nothing to do with Torah, there, just ignore the fool. Don't answer him. Ki ha da'hu da'osla kamei de'rebi. Omer le ishticha ishti. We'll see a case where it was by milei de'alma, that Rebbe didn't bother answering him. B'chlap. Guy came to Rebbe, and he said to him, your wife is my wife, your children are my children. Right? In other words, your wife was mezana with me, and therefore your children are really my children. Omer le, so Rebbe didn't answer him. He just ignored him. Because if he'll start answering him, he'll make the question more respectable. So he just ignored the guy. Right? Obviously, the guy was a nut. So Omar Le Ritzon Chashitishte Koshal Yayin. So Rebbe told him, "Would you like to have a cup of wine with me? Because I really appreciate the information, right? So here's a little cup of wine, right? To Shasa Upaka. He drank the wine and he burst. Right? He died. Right? Such not mashman that Rebbe." What's it called, that killed him with the wine. One of the Mefarshim says that the Iyun Yaakov says that kol ha-posel b'mumo posel. That if a guy calls another person a mamzer, he's probably a mamzer. So this guy was a mamzer. And the Nela, mamzerim, don't live too long. So he drank the wine, and Rebbe knew he wouldn't be around too long. And paka doesn't necessarily mean at this time, the exact moment he drank the wine. It means eventually the guy ended up dying. Right? Another person came to Rabbi Chiya. Omer le imcha ishti, the ata b'ni. Said, your mother is my wife. In other words, he was mezana with his mother. And you're my son. Omer le ritzon cheshitishta kol shel yayin. He didn't answer him. Just ignored him. And he said, well, thanks for the information. Would you like a cup of wine for shaso paka? Same thing happened to this guy. Right? Rashi. Okay, no Rashi. Om Reb Chia. Ahanyalet Slusei L'Rebbe Delo L'Shavye Boni Mamzeri. Right? Rebbe's tefillas helped, what's it called, that he was saved from people like this that accused him of being a mamzer, of his mother being mezana, and all these other things. Right? He used to daven Rebbe to be saved from people like this, from a chutzotim. The Rebbe, ki havi matzli, when Rebbe would daven, Omar yihirotzom v'fonecho Hashem Elokeinu, shetatzileni hayom me'azei ponim, u'me'azus ponim. Okay, should save me from azei ponim and azus ponim. Rashi, me'azei ponim shelo yazikuni, from mechutzofim, they shouldn't damage me, u'me'azus ponim shelo yetzei olai sheimam zeirus to havi az ponim. Azus ponim, Rashi learns, means save me from people who are mechutzofim and save me from being called an az ponim, that me being called a mamzer. Right? In other words, save me from the people and from the things that they claim, from their claims. Others say there's two different things. There's certain people who are not such big mechutzofim, but when they get together with other people similar to them, then they're a problem. Right? There's a group of aze ponim in the plural. There's some people who themselves are terrible mechutzotim. They don't need other people together with them. That's azus ponim. That's a person who's mamish and az ponim. So you have to daven every day that you don't meet up with people like that, not people who have chutzpah, whose faces are the faces of dogs, of azus ponim. That's something to daven for. Okay. B'divrei Torah mahi, where do you answer a person according to his foolishness when it has to do with divrei Torah? So that's the case where you don't answer a person according to his foolishness when it has to do with milei d'alma. Right? You just ignore it. But when it has to do with divrei Torah, there, if a person asks a foolish question, you answer him. Mahi, ki hadi Yosef Ram Gamliel the Kadorish asida isha shetele b'chol yom. Right? And there could be the reason, I think I saw this somewhere, why do you answer a person when it comes to divrei Torah even if he asks a foolish question? Because then if you don't answer him, he will get into the habit of not asking questions. So this time it may be foolish, but the next time it may be a question that's very important. The same famous Meister Reb Chaim Brisker, somebody came to him Friday night, he was learning with his Talmidim after the Suda, and somebody came and he said, I have a very important question. He said, my wife every week makes Lakshenkugel with raisins, and this week she forgot to put in the raisins. What do we do? So Reb Chaim went out, took out one Gemara, another Gemara, then went to a Shulchan Aruch, and he looked in the Shulchan Aruch for a little while, and finally said, okay, the Maisa, this week you can eat it, but make sure she doesn't forget next week. And the Talmidim all were like, you know, Chaim Brisker still, but where in the world did he find, you know, raisins in there? So he said, if I would tell this guy that was the most stupid question I ever heard, go home and eat your stupid kugel and don't bother me, then next week what would happen is that Chazer Schmaltz would fall into the kugel and he'd say, well, last week was a stupid question, it's probably also a stupid question. So this way he made sure that he'd know it wasn't a stupid question. So therefore, when it comes to Divrei Torah, Anek Seal Kevloso, even though it's a foolish question, answer him according to his foolishness. My kihadi Yosef Rav Gamliel v'kadorish asida isha sh'teleg b'chol yom. Rav Gamliel was darshaning, he said, in the future a woman is going to give birth every day. Okay, we'll see Rashi doesn't mean that's the same woman giving birth every day. It means there'll be women giving birth every day because the gestation period will be much, much shorter. So it'll be possible every day, what's it called, the woman will be giving birth. Shenamar hora v'yoledes yachtov. Right, the woman who's pregnant and what's it called, and giving birth at the same time, right? It's talking about the same woman, but it's a woman would be possible to get pregnant while she, what's it called, when she gives birth, she'll get pregnant right away and then be able to give birth again. Ligleg olav also Talmud. So there was a Talmud to make fun of him. Omar, ein kol chodesh tachas ha-shemesh. I have a pasuk that says that can't be. There's nothing new in the world. Right, so how in the world could it be a new thing, even when Mashiach comes, or even Olam Ha, even Tchias HaMesim, or whatever Zman is talking about, Ein Kol Chodesh Tachas HaShemesh. Omer Leh, Bo Ve'erach HaDug Mosim, Bo Lamazet. It's not new. I'll show you that there are things similar to that, even in this world. Nofek Achvi Leh Tarnigoles. She showed him a chicken. A chicken also can lay an egg every day. V'su Yosef Gamliel V'Kadorish Asidim Ilano Shemotziim Peros B'chol Yom. Right, in the future, trees will give peiros every day. Every day, new peiros will come on the tree. Shenemar v'nosa onof v'osa pri. Ma onof b'chol yom, just like the branch is there every day, af pri b'chol yom. Liglov also Talmud. So again, Talmud made fun of him. Omar v'hoksiv ein kol chodesh tachas ha-shemesh. Right, how could it be? New things aren't going to happen. Omar leh bo v'erach v'dugmosim b'olam hazeh. I'll show you that they exist even in this world. Nofek ach v'leh tzlath. Tzlath, you remember him from Brachas. The tzlat has many different kinds of things on it that are edible, and the maisa it gives fruit at a very fast rate. See Rashi. B'divrei Torah muter lanos kevlosel. There you do answer him according to his foolishness. Hora v'yoledes yachta b'yom shahara zeh yoledes vlad acher. The day that she gets pregnant, she's giving birth to another kid. In other words, she'll be pregnant and give birth at the same time. Kamo Tarnigolis, just like a Tarnigolis. Because a Tarnigolis also is a gestation period for a Tarnigolis. Doesn't give birth every day. Right? But the thing is that while it's giving birth to an egg, it's still gestating, still pregnant with another egg. Okay. The Kivin Shemeshameshes Bechol Yom, right? Nim Ches Yoledes Bechol Yom. Since she has, what's it called, relations every day, so it's possible that she'll be giving birth every day, right? But not that she'll give birth to the same child that she was Hora that day, but it'll be an ongoing process. Dachi Mash Makro Bechol Eish Shehi Mesaberes Yoledes Shemaheres Ligmor Tzuros Avlav Dizman Muad. The period of gestation will be very short. Bo veracha torach lanoso kevloso kedei lahamid divrei Torah mechono. He answered him because he wanted to show him that his pshat in the Torah of ein chol chodesh shachas hashemesh didn't apply over here. Ligleg zu ivelis. What's it called? He made fun. He said this is ridiculous. Tzlath min ilon hatoin gimel mine peros. Tzlath has three different kinds of edible things on the tree. Evyolnos kafrisin v'lulavim. The chiise lahai, lesser lahai, to the omer bereish chesavakim. Each one comes at a different period of the development of the tree, so it comes out that there's fruit constantly being produced on the tree.
What is it called, an ilan? Isn't it like a bush?
It's It's an ilan. Ilan is a bush too. It's not a tree. Ilan doesn't mean a tree. It means anything where the fruit grows on the branch, right? One after the other. You don't need it to replant it, or it doesn't come from a new branch. That's called an ilan. Okay, they say that the idea is, okay, let's go there. The Su Yosef Ram Gamliel the Kadorish, I see the Eretz Yisrael Shatotzi glue skulls. In the future, Eretz Yisrael will bring out on the trees, what's it called? Bread, glue skulls, rolls, clay milas, and already finished cloth. Shenamar, Yehi Pisas Bar Ba'aretz. Ligle Govoso Talmud, so there, again, Talmud made fun of him, and how could that be? How could there be new things? The Rabbanu Shlom doesn't create new things. No, these things exist already. Things similar to it. Right, that are wide. They look like already readily edible things, mushrooms and whatever. And clay milas nivra bar kora. And for clay milas, right, you can see that there's a fiber that grows around the bark of a tree, which you can take off the tree and use it for clothing. It's already like a piece of material. So there is something similar to that. It's not completely new. So the fact that there'll be these things in the future are not new creations. Others say that Vade, what Rav Gamliel meant, all these drushes, were spiritual. It didn't mean there's actually going to be bread growing on trees. What it meant is that the world will be more perfect. You won't need to perfect the food or whatever. You'll be able to eat it in its raw state. It'll be nourishing, right? But this Talmud understood it to mean physically. So he answered him according to his foolishness. He showed him, even according to your understanding, it's not a totally new thing. And others say, no, that this is taka with the way it's going to be, and that's the way it was before the chet of Adam Arishon. These are not new things, right? These are the things the way the world was originally. Right, the Rambam says that there will be no chidushim in the time of Mashiach, and he describes a world that's totally new. But it's not new; it's just the way we see it is the way that it wasn't supposed to be. That's the way that's impaired. The way that it was supposed to be before the chait of Adam Rishon, that's the way the Rambam created the world. There wasn't supposed to be any sickness. There wasn't supposed to be any supposed to be old luxuries. No competition. All these things are normal. What we see is an abnormal world. So therefore, it's not new. It's just going back to what its original state was. Okay. And also, the Chara over here, we have also another. We have a case in Brachos. It's in Bava Basra also, where Rabbi Yochanan had a Talmud. And he told him there's going to be, what's it called, diamonds that the Romans are going to put into the Shara Yerushalayim. They're going to be tremendous size. And he said, well, how could that be? Today there aren't diamonds that are bigger than eggs. You can have diamonds the size of 20 amas by 10 amas. So Rabbi Yochanan, what's it called? Then the guy went and he saw the malachim making these gates. So he came back to Rabbi Yochanan and he said, hey, what's it called? What you said was right. He said, you mean if you didn't see it, you wouldn't have believed me? He said, Reka. When he looked at him, and he became a gal shel atzamas. So why didn't he turn this guy into a gal shel atzamas too? And the answer is very pashut, I think. Over there, the guy made fun of what Rabbi Yochanan was learning because of his understanding. That's already possible. But here, the guy made fun of it because he thought a pasuk said differently. So he had a right to ask the question. Right? You're asking for a pasuk is one thing. You're asking because you don't think it's right. You don't think it's possible. Right? Your logic tells you that already you're right to be a gal shel atzamas. Okay. We said pisas bar mashma glusko shirachavos kamin pasyad, umashma klimilas kimo ksonis pasim. Where do you see pisas bar? It says the trees will give out pisas bar. Pisas bar is mashma ready-made loaves of bread that are wide like a pasyad, like the wrist, and also klimilas, which is ksonis pasim. Bar kimo lishbor bar. Bar is tvua. Is grain. Ulian klimilas bar noki kamo bora kachama. Right, bar can also mean something clear, clean, right, pure. Kimoinu pitriol shiotzin kamo shehein balayla echad urechovin vagulin kluskos. Right, the kimoinu pitriol they spring up overnight. They're completely made. They're wide things, And the same thing can be then over on a tree can cover a wide loaf of bread. Nivra bar kora siv kemin levush mitzuyer gadol svivo sakor. There's this fiber that grows. What's it called? Svivo sakor shel dekel kashurach. When the what's it called? The bark of the tree, that layer is still soft. So there's this fiber that grows around, which you could just peel off, and you could make it into a piece of material. Kor on the fa'ilan shurach. Kor is the branch or the bark of the tree when it's soft. Yotze b'choshon the kodesh gasha kori kor. Every year the bark, or the branches come new, and that layer is soft until it hardens up. Okay. Person should be an onav, humble, easygoing, no, but that's not the word I'm looking for. To be something that's flexible, that's the word. Flexible like Hillel, Valye Kapten Keshamay, and not stern and inflexible like Shammai. Okay. So, first of all, one of the Mefarshim says that if you can't be an Anvison like Hillel, at least you shouldn't be a captain like Shammai. Those are two extremes. So, you should try to be an Anvison like Hillel, but if you can't do that, at least not be a captain like Shammai. And so Solanter explains that Shammai wasn't wrong and Hillel wasn't wrong. They had different midos. They held b'shita that's the way a person has to be. I'll cover that Torah. Shammai held b'shita, this is the way, and that was his mida. And Hillel held b'shita, this is the way. And both of them are right, just like in any halachic thing. Right? Their hanhaga was supported by rayas in the Torah, just like any machlokas in halacha. Right? There's machlokas also in how a person's mido should be. And each one held that based on their learning, this is the way a person should be. So Shammai was a tzaddik in his way, and Hillel in his way. The only thing is, once, just like in any halacha, once we have to machriya, so which way should other people do? So the Gemara paskins and says a person should be like Hillel and not like Shammai. But Hillel and Shammai, each one had the right to follow their psak. Once the psak was given, that the halacha is like Hillel, even Shammai has to follow Hillel's way, at least from then on, people have to follow Hillel's halacha. Same thing over here. Right? Once it was muhra that the way of Hillel is the proper way, so the Gemara says you have to be like Hillel, and anybody who'll do like Shammai is now wrong. But at the time, before it was a hachra, each one had the right to do their way. Where do we see this inyan? Kimaisa b'shnei b'nei adam, shehim ruzezeh. Two people, what's it called, made a bet. And Amru, kol mi sheyelech v'yachnin es Hillel, yitol dalad me'ozuzah. Anybody who can go and get Hillel angry will get 400 zuz. Okay. Amr echad mehem ani yachnitenu. So one of them said, I'll go and make him angry, I'll get the 400 zuz. Also hayom erev Shabbos, saw you? It was erev Shabbos. The Hillel chofat es rosho, and Hillel was in the bathhouse washing his hair. Holach v'over al Pesach Beiso, he went and he passed by his doorway. Okay, and each of the things that the Marshos here says, each of these things was to make him angry. Right. First of all, he picked the worst time of the week, Erev Shabbos, when Hillel was in the middle of preparing for Shabbos, not Stam early in the morning. Okay, and he didn't go. He didn't knock on the door to come in. He stood outside. The Hillel should have to come outside. Okay, so that is another thing to make him angry. Omar Mikan Hillel. Mikan Hillel. Is anybody here named Hillel? In other words, he didn't say the Hillel, the Nossi, like I'd like to speak to you. He just said, does Hillel live here? Is anybody here named Hillel? Right, which also could make Hillel very upset. So with all of these things, and the Chidah says, he said to him as if he's not famous. Right? To say to a famous person, who are you? Right, also can get him upset. So he made it like, you know, is anybody here named Hillel? What's it called? As if he didn't know who he was, what he was, or whatever. So Nisate v'yotzelik Russo. So Hillel came out of the bath, and he got dressed, and he went outside to him. Omer lo b'ni ma'atomavakesh. What would you like? Omer le sheilo yeshli lishol. I have a big question to ask. And some say, Lishol means, I have a question whether I can ask this question. Right? It may be a stupid question, so I'm not even sure if I can ask it. So I'll ask you first if I'm allowed to ask the question. Right? So obviously it's also to get him upset. Right? The guy didn't even know if the question was fit to be asked, yet he's bothering him with all these things, Erev Shabbos. Omer le sha'al b'ni sha'al. Ask. Mipnei ma rashem shal bavloim galgolos. Why are the heads of the bavloim rounded? Right? There's two different pshatim over here. One pshat is that they're mamish round, instead of the way a person's face is normally oblong to a certain degree. Rashi, look at skalgalos. Shehimru, nisarvu kamo shemamrim esayonim esanhedrin. They made a bet. Mi kan hilal, klum kan hilal. The Loshen Gnai Lenossi Israel. It wasn't a proper way to speak to the Nossi, right? Anybody here named Hillel? Mipnei Maroshin Shel Bavloim Skalgalos. Bilona Belaz. She'eno Ogol. They're not round. That's the first pshat, Rashi says. Like a balloon, right? Not round. Like, how come their heads aren't round? Meaning that most faces are round, there aren't round. Lishnachrin, Roshin Shel Bavloim Skalgal Ogol. The opposite. Why are they round and not oblong like normal faces? I don't know what the difference is, and how could it be two different pshatim, but maybe their heads are extra round or they're extra not round. So, Omer Le, B'ni She'ela Gedola Sha'altas. Good question. And they She'en Lohem Chayos Pikchos, because they don't have good midwives. So when they are born, their skulls are still, the bones are still soft, and they put a lot of pressure on pulling their head out of the womb, so they compress their heads, and they're not rounded heads. Okay. Some say that he was poking fun at the Bavloim. Hillel came from Bavel. He was a Bavli. And he said their heads are round means Bavloim are always involved in pilpul, that circular pilpul. Right? Their heads are constantly around. They don't... So he said, Chayos is a euphemism for the rebbeim, right? Just like a midwife, right? A rebbe is also like he gives birth to the person. So he said, their rebbeim aren't very good. They teach them all this pilpul. He said, you're right, Enochanami, the derech of limud in Bavel is not all that great, right? But he's making fun of Hillel. Okay. The Marsha has another shot over here with all these things. Wait till we get to finish all of them. He learns that they weren't stam. I wanted to bring a raya from here when I learned this in Daf Yomi. That you see that they used to ask shailas from Gedolim that had nothing to do with Torah. Right? You had a question in nature, you went to the Gadol and asked the question. So you see from here that Das Torah isn't exclusive to Halacha. It's even other things they used to ask the Talmidei Chachamim. But the Marsha says not like that. He says, well, Torah, why are you asking Hillel these questions? These questions have nothing to do with Torah. Right, so why, and also why did he answer him? Because we say that the Altanik Seal Kevlos is only by Divrei Torah. So the Marsha says that these things were hint. Hillel didn't think he was Stam asking him stupid questions to get him mad. He thought he was asking him questions that made sense. Stam has something to do with Divrei Torah. So Hillel interpreted it to mean a Shaila. He's asking him in Divrei Torah, which we'll see when we finish how the Marsha learns what this Divrei Torah was. In any case, so. Holach v'himtin shoy went away and he waited for a while. Doesn't mean after an hour, but he waited a while. Shoa achas chazav ha'omer mikan hill. He came back again. Same thing. Hillel. Anybody here named Hillel? The Maisi knew he was Hillel already for the first time, so he forgot in an hour. Right? Anybody here named Hillel? Nisin sata v'yost v'krosso. Hillel didn't say, hey, an hour ago you knew I'm Hillel, right? All of a sudden you're asking again. Is anybody here named Hillel? Came out. Omer le b'ni matom avakesh. What do you want now? Why are the eyes of the Tarmudim, why are they soft? The Rakos, they don't have good eyesight. That's Eineha Rakos. Others say that it means that they have oblong eyes. Their eyes are very, very small, narrow. They're narrow eyes. Omer lo, b'ni she'ela gedola sha'alta. Good question. Midnei shedorin bein acholos. Because they live amongst the sand, and therefore the Rabbanu Shalom gave them narrow eyes so the sand doesn't go in their eyes. Whoever, some nation. Where is it? Okay. The holach v'himtin sho'achas. Again, he waited another time. Chaza v'omar mikan hill, mikan hill. Same thing again. Nisatif yosakrosa. Omar le b'ni matum avakesh. Omar le sheilu yesh li lishol. Omar le sha'al b'ni sha'al. Mitnema reglem shal afrikoyim rechavels. Why do the Africans, right, Schwarzes, have wide feet, flat feet? Omar le b'ni sheilu gadol shalten. Nishadorin ben bitse hamayim. Because they live amongst the swamps, and therefore they shouldn't sink into the mud. The Rebbeinu gave them flat feet. Okay, now some learn from here that this is what's it called acquired characteristics. Since the other ones lived amongst the chol, so they needed to get to develop eyes that were narrow, and these, because they live in muddy places, they wouldn't have flat feet. So over the generations, their characteristics accommodated to their Lamarck, is that the one? That's called the acquired characteristics. So that's one pshat. Another pshat is that the Rabbanu Shlom knew that these people were going to have to live in these places, and he made them lechatchila, right? And they say that the question that this guy was asking was, if everybody comes from Adam Arishon, how could there be differences amongst how people look? They all came from the same gene pool to begin with. The answer is there are things that can be acquired because of the climate, because of the terrain, whatever it may be, that then are passed on. Or that the Rabbanu Shalom, after people were already born, he created Adam HaRishon, but from Adam HaRishon he created within him the possibility of infinite amounts of combinations of genes that fit people in different places. And those people that he knew were going to be in these places had these genes, and the other ones had the other genes. But they all were part of the gene pool of Adam HaRishon.
Doesn't
that have nothing to do with evolution? Right, it's a support for the fact that the Rebbeinu Shlom put into Teva that some things can adapt to their environment. Right, that's only one part of something that's needed to explain evolution, but one thing doesn't depend on the other. Evolution may depend on having acquired characteristics, right, things like that being adaptable, but if something's adaptable doesn't mean it came from evolution. That the Rebbeinu Shlom set up that thing, and that's how it works. Right? It's not that people evolved or animals evolved and adapted, but different people in different places adapt to their, and according to others, it has nothing to do with heredity. The people who are constantly walking on these things, Rashi mentions, their feet become flat. They don't start out like that, but as they grow, right, it flattens their feet. Same thing, if you're constantly squinting your eyes because of the sand, eventually they're going to get narrow eyes, not going to open up completely. But it's not that they start out like that when they're born. It's just they adapt to that over their lifespan. So Mimela, all of them end up looking like that. Okay. Rashi. One second. Omer lo shelos harbe yesh lisho. Umisyori ani shematichos. But I have a lot of questions, he said. What's it called? You know, instead of coming back again, right? I guess it was getting late toward Shabbos. So he said, I have a lot of questions, but I'm afraid to ask you because you may get angry. Nisatif yoshalafana. So Hillel, what's it called, put his hat back on, and he sat down. Omerle kol she'elu she'yoshalisho sha'ol. Anything you want to ask, ask. Omerle atahu Hillel shekor nos chanosi Yisrael. So now he tried one more thing to get him upset. He said, are you the Hillel that they call you Nasi Yisrael? Not that you're fit to be called that, right? But is that what they call you? Right? In other words, he was intimating to him that you don't deserve the title, but is that what people call you? Omer Lehe, Hillel said, yeah, Taka, you're right. I'm really not fit to be called a Nasi, but that's what they call me. Omer Lehe, Matahu lo yirbu kamosu. If that's true, then there shouldn't be a lot of people like you. Omer Lehe, b'ni mipnei ma, why not? Omer Lehe, mipnei shavadati al yodcha dalad mea zuz. I lost 400 zuz. Omer Lehe, have a zor beruchacha. Kedaihu Hillel, you should be very careful with yourself. Kedaihu Hillel, you should know that for Hillel that you should lose. Shetaovar al yado dalud meyazuz v'dalud meyazuz. The Gross says, what's the double? Should lose 800 zoos, because that's what he lost. Because he could have made 400 zoos. Now, not only didn't he make 400 zoos, he lost 400 zoos. So really, he lost 800 zoos. He lost the possibility of making 400, and he had to pay 400. And that's why Tosus over here says Shehimru Zed Dini Asmachta Mefurish Makom Acher. The laws of Asmachta, which have to do with bets, is said somewhere else. Because the Maaseh, it's Masher from the Gemara, that Hillel held, you lost the bet, and you're going to have to pay up, right? that you not only didn't you get the 400 zuz, you're going to have to pay up the other guy for because you lost the bet. So this shailin halacha, the smachta kanya, smachta lo kanya, if you, a bet has halachic validity or not, if it makes a kinyan, doesn't make a kinyan, you have to keep it or not. There are tnoim when a smachta kanya, when not. So Hillel told him the charipaskin the shailin. He said, tough luck, you lost the 400 zuz, you got to pay the other guy who you bet. So Tosa says the halachas that are intimated here, you can look up somewhere else. The Hillel lo yachbid. Better you should lose 800 zuz and Hillel shouldn't get angry. Rashi, trutos rakos, soft. Shidorim bin acholos, the haruach no sheves, the nichnas besochei nehem, and the wind blows the sand in their eyes. Ufumakom achim refers trutos lashnagulos. Somewhere else it says trutos means round. Base moshav shalohem. The place where the eye sets in, the socket of the eye is round. The afkan and the omer came. Say the same thing. That they should darim ben acholos, shina osom hamakom. God made them fit the place where he knew they were going to settle. Shelo ye sedek shalaneim aruch kishalanu. Their eye shouldn't be elongated like ours. The ikonis beachol. And the sand should go in their eyes. The chen ragleim shall afrikaim. The same thing with the feet of the Africans. Rechavos. They God made them wide. Shelo yitbu bebitze amayin. They shouldn't sink into the mud. Rabbi Seinu mefarshim shedorin bein bitze hamayim v'holchin yechetin. Because they live amongst what's it called swamps, so they go barefoot. Not because the shoes aren't going to help them. Right? The shoes will get all muddy and sink into the. Since they go barefoot, since they don't wear shoes, their feet flatten out. If you wear shoes, so the shoe keeps your foot compressed. But if you don't wear shoes, so it flattens out. So, machlokas over here, is this something that the Rabbanu Shel Olam made them like that, knowing that they'd have to adapt to their, or is it something that happens as they live because of the terrain? Kedaihu, Hillel roi lekach. Right? Hillel is roi that you shouldn't get angry, even if it's going to cost you 800 zuz.